Welcome to the Myasthenia Gravis edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the MG community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. Today's guest is Dr. Thomas Peterson, co-founder and Chief Executive Officer of NMD Pharma, a Danish company established in 2015. Thomas earned his PhD from Denmark's Aarhus University and did 2 years of postdoctoral work at Cambridge University. In its 9 years of existence, he's overseen the company's transition from an early discovery stage startup to a clinical stage company. In 2018, he led one of Europe's largest Series A financing rounds. The scientific basis of NMD Pharma is the use of CLC1, chloride channel 1, as a novel target for restoring muscle function in neuromuscular disease. As a scientist, Thomas focused on cellular electrophysiology and ion channel biophysics, developing novel methods to understand the function and regulation of CLC1 in health and disease. He has published more than 40 high-ranking papers. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, all the way from Denmark.
Thank you very much, Larry, for having me on.
Absolutely. Let's start with a description of the diseases in which your company focuses, namely myasthenia gravis and spinal muscular atrophy.
Okay, so these are neuromuscular diseases, which means they are diseases where there is a dysfunction in the connection between the brain and the muscle fibers. It is a disease where, or they are diseases where patients have muscle dysfunction, they are weak, and they have excessive muscle fatigue during their everyday life and everyday movement. Specifically, these diseases are also diseases where there is a dysfunction at the interaction or the point of contact between the motor nerve and the muscle fiber. This is what we call the neuromuscular junction. It is a synapse where the electrical signal in the nerve is transmitted to electrical signal in the muscle fiber. And if that electrical signal cannot be transmitted, as occurs in these diseases, then patients are not able to activate their muscle fiber. And that is part of the origin behind the weakness and the fatigue that really causes the symptoms that these patients are having.
We don't really hear too much about this. In the time that I've covered both diseases, it very rarely hear about this dysfunction. Can you explain why that is?
For myasthenia gravis, we have for a very long time been understanding that the core of the disease is at this point of interaction, the neuromuscular junction. And this is really what needs to be restored, that connection point, in order for patients to alleviate their symptoms. For spinal muscular atrophy, it is something that has become more growingly aware of around the neuromuscular junction defects. And there's been some wonderful new treatments focusing on developing SMN upregulating treatments. They are now bringing new hope to SMA patients, but we still see that patients with SMA have weakness and fatigue. And there's been some really important studies showing that this remaining problems they have, these symptoms of muscle weakness and fatigue, are closely related to the dysfunction between the nerve and the muscle fiber at that neuromuscular junction. And importantly, it's something we can actually measure in the clinic. We can use different EMG biomarkers to determine if there is a defect. And what is now becoming very apparent in SMA is that the level of deficit at the junction is very profound in SMA, and it correlates tightly to their functional capabilities. This means that we have discovered that there is a defect in SMA at the neuromuscular junction, just like we already know there is in myasthenia, and this is now an area that is getting a lot of attention for treatment, and we're bringing hopefully a solution to this.
So let me ask you, does this mean that even for babies that were born with SMA, let's say type 1, that have been treated with either Spinraza or Zolgensma, or possibly both, they can still have problems? because of this underlying condition, despite these wonderful drugs and of course gene therapy, Zolgensma, which is very expensive and it's a one-time treatment.
Yes, we believe that while these new treatments are creating a lot of advances, for especially when we talk about the more severe effect, the patients type 1s and the babies, really offering a lot of treatment benefit, these new treatments. But there remains to be treatments that focus more directly on treatments that really are muscle directed and directly improving muscle functionality. And we believe that what we're bringing will eventually be useful across SMA types. Our initial focus is more on the older population, the adults, but we think that our treatment approach and our method will be, can be extended to the other types of SMA as well.
Well, talking about SMA, if we could for a minute, apparent that thanks to these new treatments, people are living longer with the disease who otherwise would have never made it, you know, past childhood. So you're seeing an increasing number of adults with SMA, or at least older teenagers, let's say.
Yeah.
This is the population you're targeting?
Right. At the initial study, the study is a phase 2 study we have ongoing already. It's not a requirement that they have been on an SMN upregulating therapy. So it's not necessarily those patients we are focusing on. They can be allowed to be on it, but they don't have to. Now, you're right in that more patients they're living longer, they're surviving, which is wonderful. And the hold understanding to some extent of the SMA types is shifting somewhat with these new therapies. So we will see more patients that are living longer, but we also know that we have not entirely corrected, let's say, the challenge that these patients have. So we think that there is a lot of opportunity for us to help across the different SMA types. So the ones who have maybe type 3s who have not been treated with SMN regulating therapies, but also type 1s and type 2s who have been on treatment, we also hope to be able to offer some benefits with this new therapy.
Understand. So let's go back a bit and tell me, how did you get interested in this? And is your approach, your company's approach, NMD Pharma, unique in the pharma world?
Maybe the last piece first. Yes, we are unique in the respect that nobody else is working on this target, as far as we know. And we were the first to propose this as well. The idea comes actually from basic research, academic research, as you nicely outlined to start with. It was academic efforts at Aarhus University and Cambridge University that led to the discovery of CLC1 as a drug target in these indications. And this is why we are where we are today. We discovered that, we took it forward, hoping to offer some benefits for patients one day with this approach.
And how about yourself? How did you get involved?
Well, it was my own PhD back in the day, in fact. It was an outcome of my PhD and my own research as an associate professor at the University of Aarhus that revealed this. And from then on, I felt that this was an opportunity to do something that could be used within fairly short time window compared to many other academic discoveries you make. It takes a long time before they ever translate into any practical use. Here, I actually felt that this was something that could be pursued. So, in many respects, I'm kind of still pursuing the same question around using this ion channel for a new treatment that will one day hopefully benefit the patients. And that's why you should do basic research, but that's also why you should develop drugs, I think. So here was an opportunity to take it forward.
And so the company was established 9 years ago. How big is NMD Pharma in terms of revenues or numbers of employees, or some way to quantify the size of the company?
Yeah, revenue is still a little bit challenging when you're developing a drug, because that's we are a private company. We are financed through investments from venture capitalists, and we are 40 employees in the company right now, growing quite a lot, and probably will hit 50 within the current year. Mm-hmm. We have been financed over several rounds. You mentioned in the financing round in 2018, In fact, last year, last October, we just closed another large round, Series B. So we have been sort of been able to, through several steps, actually raise substantial financing. And we have taken the idea of the CLC1 inhibitor from academic discovery into the clinic and shown efficacy in patients with myasthenia. So we have taken it to, let's say, clinical proof of mechanism.
Talking about clinical trials, you do have relationships with patient advocacy groups. What are your relationships with these groups, and are there other groups you work with as well?
Yes, I mean, we are working closely with Cure SMA, we have had many good discussions with them, I would say, over the years. As we have started a phase 2 study, and that is now ongoing, we have intensified these discussions. Also, our organization also has to mature from early stage to now being later stage. So we're putting quite a bit of effort into interacting with patient organizations. We are meeting with them face to face. We're even participating in some of the activities that they are organizing for their patients. We actually have volunteers from NMD joining those to participate. So that's Cure SMA. For MGFA, we've also had some very good interactions and meeting with them and learning from their contributions and experiences with other trials. So we make sure we make the most efficient trials that are the most meaningful outcomes.
Is there any progress being made currently towards a gene therapy for myasthenia gravis?
No, there really isn't. This is an autoimmune disease where the underlying cause why we get this reaction, which it basically is not that well understood yet. There are treatments that basically you can categorize them in two buckets. There is one type of therapy that approaches the immune reaction or the autoimmune reaction by lowering the antibodies or by inhibiting C5. But even then, we still have remaining deficits at the neuromuscular junction, because this is an area that becomes destroyed basically by the disease and becomes damaged by the disease. So it's weakened. So you also need something that really directly targets muscle to improve on the neuromuscular junction per se. And that's where we come in, being quite different to anything else that's being developed, and would probably also work in combination with other types of therapies. But gene therapy, no, not right now. And so that's, we've seen some good developments in myasthenia as well within the autoimmune directed therapies. And there's really not been anything on muscle-directed therapies. That's where we're coming in, being different.
And are you looking to any other diseases in the neuromuscular field?
We are also running a phase 2 study in Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease. Again, with sites going to be in the U.S. as well as Europe. And again, with the very good interactions with a number of patient organizations that are very active in this space and very helpful, I have to say.
So what are your, just to wrap up, because we're almost out of time, what are your plans, let's say, for the next 5 years? What are your priorities?
Well, the next 5 years, hopefully 5 years, we will be at a stage where we would have a first CLC1 inhibitor that is actually available for patients. Mm-hmm. That's our dream. Putting it on, because 5 years is a long time for a biotech company. But if we put it on shorter, even within this year, we will progress our ongoing SMA study. We will start a myasthenia study. We will start our CMT study. These are financed. We're in the sort of execution mode and actually getting them up and going. So that's on the short term for 2 years, 5 years. Hopefully we can be very close to the market or even maybe on the market.
Wonderful. We've been talking with Dr. Thomas Holm-Peterson, who is CEO, co-founder, and chief executive officer of NMD Pharma in Denmark. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.